Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Celtics legend JoJo White died yesterday following a battle with cancer. He was 71 years old. White was inducted rightfully into the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2015. And at that time, he said he had always wanted to be a basketball great.
I always strive to be the best. I tried out for the high school JV team. I got cut. So what did I do? I went out for the varsity team and made it.
Boy, did he ever. He made it all the way to the NBA, played for the Celtics for 10 years. So let's talk about JoJo White. And joining us now to do so is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
Also with us today is Peter May. He covered the Celtics for over 25 years. Peter, welcome to you.
Thank you.
So, gentlemen, your first thoughts on the passing of JoJo White. Bill?
He was an extraordinarily nice man, as well as being an exceptional basketball player. Yeah. I had the opportunity to interview him at a WBUR gala not too long ago.
I was there. I actually got to sit right next to him.
He couldn't have been more gracious, and I enjoyed the experience thoroughly. I think the other thing, we're going to talk, I'm sure, about some of the extraordinary performances in JoJo White's career.
1976.
But yeah, and I'm going to let Peter do that because he was probably there. But one of the things that strikes me that I don't want to overlook is he was an exceptionally durable player. He didn't ever seem to come out. He had a 63-minute game. He played 60 minutes, and Peter will get to that, I'm sure. But he took great care of himself. He was always in great shape. He was an excellent teammate, and of course, he played for two championship teams.
And you're absolutely right about him being a gentleman. I remember that event you're talking about. I sat next to him, and I looked over, and I just thought, oh, my gosh, that's JoJo White. I couldn't believe it. And he was just so normal and down-to-earth the whole time. Peter, your thoughts. Pick that up.
You could search long and hard to find anyone to say a disparaging word about JoJo White. He just evinced and exuded class and elegance. As Bill mentioned, he was an incredibly durable player until he got hurt at the end of his career.
Yeah.
And it just ended really quickly. But he was, he just was a really, really gentle. He was a gentleman, and he was also a fashionista. Of the high order. Red Auerbach always, held him up as the, embodiment of how his team should, dress when they travel on the road.
It must have been of the highest order, Peter, because today people are comparing him to Clyde Frazier. And I think he was a little more understated than Walt Frazier was. The mink coat wasn't always in evidence, but... Always a gentleman and always took great care of himself.
I want to talk a little bit more in more detail about his playing on the parquet. And today I was actually watching highlights from the 76 finals, right? 1976, the year he was made MVP of that series because the Celtics did beat Phoenix 4-2. But the game five, especially, I was watching the highlights. Okay, this was how many years ago? I can't even do this math. 42 years ago? Something like that? 41 years ago? My heart was in my throat still watching the highlight reel because that game five was the triple overtime game. I've got actually a little cut here from that. This is the call at the end of the third overtime.
Two-point basketball game. Nelson gets it to Art. Westbrook got a hand on it. Art goes back. 5 seconds. White, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's going to be all over. And look at the fans here in the Boston Garden. They battled three overtimes. And finally, it's over. But would you believe the end of that third overtime?
It's an amazing game, right? The Celtics had been up, 22? But Phoenix brought it within a couple of points over multiple overtimes. But White scored, I was looking up the stats, 33 points, 9 assists in that game, Peter. I mean, I think it was a demonstration of how good he was.
Right, and he played 60 minutes. And I think the lasting impression of that game for JoJo, in my mind, of JoJo White was in just sitting on the floor and during the game, during a foul shot, because he was just so, spent and enervated. But, it's funny when you look back on the game, that if you followed it closely, the two names that come out of that game are Garfield Hurd, who made the shot that sent into the overtime, and Glenn McDonald, who came on late in overtime for Boston to help win it. JoJo, he had a great game. But those aren't his name doesn't immediately pop out when you talk about that game. But it was certainly a tremendous night.
But am I right that he got the MVP for the series?
He got the MVP for the series. Yes,
yeah.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Assuredly so.
I mean, look, Game 5 was an exception. That at the end of the second overtime, again, I was watching the highlight reel today. What was it? 1 second left on the shot clock when Phoenix tied it up. I can't even really breathe. Bill, your thoughts about it.
Well, it was a fantastic series. People obviously still talk about it, and not simply in the context of the sad passing of JoJo White. It was a classic,
yeah.
without any question.
Well, I want to play another piece of tape here, and this is JoJo White talking in 2015 about what it meant to him to be a member of the Celtics franchise.
We came to play, and we smiled when it was time to smile, and we looked pissed when it was time to go out and do your job. You see, but every time out on the floor, you know, you bring it. You know, we're off today. We came to work.
Peter, talk to us a little bit about that he was a member of the team, you know, in the 70s. And I feel like there are fewer and fewer of them around.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I was talking to somebody today about it, and he's really kind of the first one to pass from that generation, and there's still a lot of dominant players from the championship teams that were before him that are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it's kind of a mortality moment, if you will, I think, for a lot of us, because he was young, he's only 71, and he's really the first from the 70s group of consequence to pass away. And that's if you'd asked me what Celtic would have died first, it would have been JoJo White.
Uh-huh. Wow. Well, actually, I'm glad that you corrected me there, because I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe just caught up in, like you said, the mortality of the moment. But we've got a couple more minutes here, and I want to just shift gears a little away from JoJo White and talk about another great Boston athlete, because just a little earlier, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh proclaimed that tomorrow is going to be Willie O'Ree Day in the city of Boston, and the mayor officially named a hockey rink in Alston for the Bruins player, because Willie O'Ree was the first black player in the NHL. So, Bill, your thoughts about that?
Well, it's a little bit like they called Willie O'Ree the hockey's Jackie Robinson. And I think the exceptional thing about it was when Willie O'Ree came to Boston, was called up from a minor league club to play for the Bruins, it didn't really occur to him that he was, or so he said, it didn't really occur to him that he was the Jackie Robinson of hockey. He just came up to play hockey. And then the next day, read in the paper that he was the Jackie Robinson of hockey. Well, that's pretty cool. But an extraordinary thing was that O'Ree had suffered a terrible injury playing hockey before he ever came to the Bruins. He was hit in the eye with a puck and was actually only had the use of one eye, was nearly entirely blind in one eye. But he didn't tell anybody. And if he had, I'm not sure he would have had the opportunity to be the Jackie Robinson of hockey, because who would have brought up a guy with only one eye? Plus, think of how dangerous it must have been to play hockey when you had no peripheral vision at all on one side.
Or a compromised depth perception.
Absolutely. Well,
No helmet either.
No helmet. But I'm sure he could compensate for the depth perception over time. I mean, that's something that... But you never get that peripheral vision back, and you got somebody coming up on
taking
your blind
some hard
side.
Hits, yeah.
That's a very dangerous situation.
Well, I actually had the privilege to speak with Mr. O'Ree a couple of years ago, and about that being the Jackie Robinson of hockey, I asked him about it, and he actually, to your point, Bill, he said there wasn't a lot of fanfare when he first stepped on the ice for the Bruins, so let's listen to what he said.
So when I come up and stepped on the ice, on January the 18th, there was no big recognition. Nobody was said, "Oh, there's Willie O'Ree. He broke the color barrier." And it really didn't realize with me until the next day. I read it in the paper.
What did you think?
Oh,
well,
I felt good, but my main concern was to just play a good game and help the Bruins win.
Peter, spoken like a hockey player, don't you think?
I read the newspaper. That's what makes me happy.
Yeah, with one eye.
Yeah.
Peter, what was he like on the ice?
You know, it's hard. He wasn't a very good NHL player. He was a very good minor league player, but he could have been for the reasons Bill just enunciated. I mean, he only had one eye. You know, he only played parts of two seasons with the Bruins. He never played for anybody else. And it was, you know, back then it was a 16 league. There weren't that many spots open for anybody. You know, there are a lot of good players who never got into the NHL from that era. So, I mean, but he did have a very distinguished minor league career. And back then, you know, you look now, there are, what, 30-something teams in the NHL? There were only six back then. So the minor league teams were pretty good back then, and he had a very good minor league career. He just didn't – he couldn't crack it in the NHL.
Hmm. Well, Peter May, he's a contributor to WBUR's Cognoscenti Opinions and Ideas page, and he covered the Celtics for 25 years.
I saw Willie play, too, by the way.
And saw Willie will replay as well. Peter, thank you so much for joining us, Dave. It was a real pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, Bill, we got one more minute to go here, and I just want to ask you a quick question about a current Boston athlete. I'm seeing here that there's some possible news about Tom Brady.
Are you going to ask me to suss out something that the Patriots have
yes.
not commented on?
Always.
Oh, excellent.
There's a crystal ball between the two of us here.
I would
read
think
it.
That Patriots fans can probably relax despite the fact that Tom Brady was absent from the press conference today. If there were anything really wrong with Tom Brady, I'm sure that his guru trainer could fix it in the twinkling of an eye.
Nothing 12 more glasses of water
can't fix. Exactly. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Okay. Tom Brady. Well, I'm glad that we got to talk about JoJo White and Willie O'Ree, though. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And he joins us here in Radio Boston on Wednesdays. Thank you so much, Bill.
A pleasure as always. Thank you, Meghna.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.